Thank you. Very kind, very kind. Thank you so much. My name is Tim Listen. My wife Jane is here with me. We are thrilled to be here with you guys today. This is fun. You got a fun church, you know that? You guys are good, man, good people. And we love Pastor Dudley and Renee, and we've been friends for a long time, and I appreciate his friendship so much. And you know, I tell people, he's just cool. You got a cool pastor. He's a godly, good man, but he's just cool too, which doesn't hurt, does it? I try to be cool, but he's just cool. He just puts on a sweat jacket and big gold chain and walks in the room, hey, what's going on, man? I'm like, that dude's cool. I struggle with that. But he's a great friend, average golfer, and that's the way I like my friends. I like my friends to be average golfers. But we are joining you today from Houston, Texas, and what's wild about this is my church family is joining us today from Houston, Texas. So hey guys, welcome them into the service, Shepherd Church. Thank you so much for that. And I want to clear the air up front here today. You know, I'm from Houston, we're from Houston, so I think that there might be some hurt feelings in the LA area. I'm just thinking out loud here because Houston is the home of the 2017 World Series champions, the Astros, who defeated the LA Dodgers in 7 games back in 2017. But just let me tell you something. When Pastor Dudley reached out to me and asked me to come here today and speak, I made the decision right then that I was not going to mention the 2017 World Series when the Houston Astros defeated the LA Dodgers handily in 7 games. So we're not even going to talk about it today. So wouldn't be appropriate. As long as you don't talk about the fact that we cheated either, we'll all be good. And well, I'm not sure if you know this, but back in 2017, there were a lot of people hurting in my part of the world. Houston got hit by a hurricane, Hurricane Harvey. It came and just kind of parked over the Houston area for 3 days straight. Torrential downpours. We got 50 inches of rain in 3 days. 50 inches of rain in 3 days. And that's, if you're wondering how much it is, that's 3 times more than you guys get in a year. We got it in 3 days, and it just would not stop. And over 100,000 homes were flooded in the Houston area. 80% of those homes did not have flood insurance because they didn't need it because they weren't in a flood zone. So a lot of folks in our part of the world were just hurting very bad, and our church was overwhelmed. The loss was for our church family was big, and just people in our community, just it was a bad time for us. And we didn't know what we were going to do, but we knew we had to do something. So we made the commitment to help people clean out their homes and get back into their homes. And I will tell you this, and this is the reason, one of the reasons I couldn't wait to get here today and to see you guys in person is because right in the middle of that mess, this church reached out to me. And they said, and Pastor Dudley told me, our church is going to send you a check. And you guys sent a generous check that helped us to help the people in our community and in our church. And we as a church ended up spending, my church, New Hope Church, we ended up spending over $1 million helping people to get back into their homes in a period of a year and a half. And it was a tough year and a half. But I'm just going to tell you something. We couldn't have done it without you guys. So thank you so very much. And I'm not blowing smoke right now. I'm telling you. We couldn't have done it without you guys. So from deep in the heart of Texas and from my church family and from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say to every single person at Shepherd Church, thank you. God used you in a big way. You guys are awesome. You're lifesavers, man. And I'm not kidding, man. Thank you so much. Okay, so I don't know if you've been paying attention to the calendar, but we are about to start a new year. And a new decade on top of that. And I know for some folks it has probably been a tough year. I know we got some people in my church, it's been a tough year for them. Maybe for you it's not only been a tough year, it's been a tough decade. But I got good news for you today. You're still standing. You're still in church. You still got a hold of your faith in Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus has still got a hold of you. I'm just going to encourage you right now, just keep on keeping on, because God is not done with your story yet. I tell people at my church that I always remind them that God works everything for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that God is still working in your life. So if it's not good, then here's the truth. God's not done yet. If it's not good, God's not done. And so if in your life it's not good yet, just hang on, man, because something good is coming. God's still working in you. If you're still breathing, if your heart is still beating, God is not done with your story yet. And it is my sincere belief that he's got something good for you in 2020. He wants to use you in a bigger way than he ever has. And he wants to, in fact, as we close out this year, what I want to do is this. I want to give you a New Year's challenge. I want to give you a New Year's challenge, and I know in the new year, people get fired up, and they want to go on a diet, and they do so for 3 days, or they go to they join a gym, and they go 2 times. Anybody done that? I have my hand up. I've done that. Join a gym at the beginning of the year, go 2 times, and pay for it for the rest of the year. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from myself sometimes, but I got a challenge that's better than that. I got a challenge that's going to make a bigger difference in your life than that. This challenge will help you to have the best year yet. This challenge will make 2020 your year of greatest impact. It'll help you make a bigger difference than you ever thought possible in your life. It'll help you to live beyond yourself, a life that is bigger than you in 2020. If you want to be used by God, I got a challenge for you today. And the challenge is this, very simple. Love people like Jesus. Love people like Jesus. Love your city. Love your city like Jesus loves your city. Now, Jesus actually gave us this challenge as a command in John chapter 15, verse 12. He said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Love each other as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, he gave his life on the cross for us. We now have his amazing grace, his forgiveness of sins in our life. We get heaven someday. And in the meantime, he has promised that he's going to meet every single need that we have according to his riches in glory. He has loved us with everything that he has got. He didn't hold back on us one bit. And he says to us now you love other people as I have loved you. Well, what does that mean exactly? Because, you know, we can't die on the cross for people's sins. It wouldn't do any good. We're not the Savior. So what does he mean, love others as I have loved you? Well, if you're taking notes today, I got 3 words that's going to help you to figure this out and to do it in 2020. Just 3 words. If you're taking notes today, you can jot these 3 words down. This will make 2020 your year of greatest influence yet. The first word is see. See. To love like Jesus loves, you got to see people like Jesus. You got to see people like Jesus. Now, I know that most of us are creatures of habit. We get into a routine. There's a lot of things throughout the day that we don't even see. Like let's say that we're moving furniture one time and we dinged the wall. And right when it happened, we thought, man, that looks terrible. I need to take care of that. But a week goes by and we don't do anything. 2 weeks goes by and we start to not even see it. 3 weeks goes by and it just disappears. And we don't even know it's there anymore. We haven't even thought about it. Or a stain on the floor could be the same way, or a box inside of the door that's in a bad place, but it's just inside the garage door, and it's been there for so long that we just have learned to walk around it, and we don't see it anymore. And the truth is, this can happen to the people in our lives as well. We get blinded to them. Years ago, there was a video that came out on the internet that was watched many, many times. In fact, it has over 22 million views on YouTube. Perhaps you saw it. But they had a team of people wearing white shirts, a team of people wearing black shirts, and they gave them each a basketball, and then they had them kind of move all around the room and pass the ball back and forth to their team members. And it just began with a simple statement at the very beginning. It just said, count how many times the team wearing white t-shirts passes the ball to each other. And so they start the video and I'm counting. I'm like, one, because I'm going to get this right. Two, three, and I counted 12 times and the video was over. And it said, did you count 12 times? I was like, yes, I did. I got this right. And then it said, did you notice the guy in the gorilla suit that walked across the room? How many of you have seen this video? Okay, if you haven't, I just ruined it for you. I'm sorry. But they show the video again, and sure enough, man, a dude walks in from stage right, walks across the stage, and does this, stops in the middle. He's wearing a gorilla suit, full-on gorilla suit, stops in the middle, bangs on his chest, and then walks out the other side. And I didn't see it. As most other people, they did not see it either. Now, why in the world didn't we see it? Because we weren't looking for it. We weren't looking for it. And unfortunately, we all have the same issue when it comes to people in our lives. Every single one of us, I believe, every single one of us have people in our lives who have become part of the background of our days. We come and go, and we just don't see them because we're too busy looking for something else. Maybe for our own good, for something that's going to benefit us. And here's the truth. If we don't see people, there's no way we can love them as Jesus loved us. We've got to open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes to the people around us. In Luke chapter 19, we read these words. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw, he saw the city, he wept over it. So he saw the city, he was moved compassion for the people there, so much so that he wept over the city. I got a question for you today. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life and that that plan is good? Everybody, okay, me too, 100%. I believe that with all my heart. But many of us are waiting on the plan to get good before we do what it is that God has asked us to do now, as in we don't like where we are now. For instance, maybe you're single and you're like, man, I don't want to be single anymore. I want to have a relationship. I want to have somebody in my life that I can love and care for and they can care for me and so forth. Or I don't like where I live. I live in an apartment. I don't like my apartment complex. Don't like my street that I live on. Don't like the neighborhood. Don't like my job. And I wish things would get better. I'm ready to move on to something new. But listen to me, if God has a plan for your life and his plan is good and he's working his plan in your life right now, then that means you in the plan are at the exact spot and the people around you are the people that God wanted around you at this moment in your life. And what he wants for you to do is to love those people that he's placed around you right now with the same love that he's loved you with. Not someday. This is not a someday command. Someday when you get married, someday when you move, someday when you get that better job, this is a right now command. We're supposed to love others as he has loved us. In fact, I know, you know, we all want to impact the world. I'm going to impact the world, going to change the world, going to impact the world. Hey, if you want to impact the world, it starts on your street. It starts where you are right now. It starts in your family. It starts in your workplace. It starts with the people that God has put around you at this moment in time. And I'm going to go out on a limb today. It's a short limb, really. But I'm going to say every single one of us has somebody in our lives that we are overlooking. The lady at the checkout line that in the store that we frequent. The neighbor who kind of keeps to themselves. The cleaning guy at work. All of us have someone that maybe we've been looking beyond or around. And God wants us to see them so that we can love them with the love that he has loved us with. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So he saw and he had compassion. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes so that we can see the people around us and help us, God, to have compassion for those folks. Amen? Second word I want you to write down is the word pray. Pray. Pray for people like Jesus. So we just read that verse 36, Matthew 9, which said Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's the first thing he did. And then immediately he starts talking about prayer. Look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So if we're going to love people like Jesus loved people, we got to see people like Jesus sees people, and then we got to pray for people as Jesus asks us to pray. I'm going to encourage you to do something this week. Now, I know you didn't come to church today to get homework, but here comes some homework. I want you to take a prayer walk this week. Take a prayer walk. And what I mean by that is if you live in an apartment complex, you walk around the complex, if you live in a neighborhood, you walk around the neighborhood, maybe around your block, and every time you pass somebody's front door, you just pray for that person. You pray for that family. Just pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would open their hearts. And you don't have to pray loud, like you don't go down the street yelling like you're an Old Testament prophet. You get the police called on you, and that's not going to help anybody. And you don't need to knock on their door and tell them that you're praying. You know, don't go up and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm out here in your front yard. I'm praying for you because I think you're going to hell. So I'm just... God save your soul. No, that's not going to help. But just walk along. Some of you are going to be out walking anyway, trying to get healthy in 2020. God bless you. Keep on walking. But while you're out there, make something good happen and start to pray for the people around you. And if you believe that God is all powerful, and I believe that you do, then and you believe that prayer is talking to an all powerful God, then you gotta believe that you praying for your neighbor is gonna make something happen, something good. So pray that God works in their lives. Pray that he blesses them. This can go, you know, to work and everywhere else. It can go when you're sitting in traffic and you turn around, there's somebody next to you in traffic and they are blaring their music or staring at their phone. Just pray for them. Just start praying for the people around you, no matter who they are. And here's what's amazing about this prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. We are the answer to the prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. We're the answer. Look at verse 38 again. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I can remember, and this is semi-embarrassing because I'm a pastor, but I can remember the day that I understood that this prayer is about us doing what God is calling us to do. It was when I was spending some time at camp. Our kids go to church camp at our church. I'm sure yours do too. And this particular camp that we were at this year was out in the middle of nowhere. And so I went up for a few days to spend some time with the kids and to do some sessions. And so I'm at the camp and I need a break. And if you've been to camp, then you know you need a break. Every now and then, get away from the kids. I was at that point. It was like Tuesday morning. Doesn't take me long. Had to get away from the kids, and so I was going to go to the next town and get some supplies, which meant a hamburger and french fries. And so I get in the van, and I'm driving, and it's like 25 minutes to the next town. It's a little tiny town out in the middle of Texas, and I'm driving along. I get about 20 minutes from the camp, and I pass a nursing home on my left. There's a nursing home, and I'm just... You know, I'm just having a good time out driving away from the kids, and I look over to see that nursing home, and immediately I thought, wow, this nursing home is out in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know who stays there, who would be in this nursing home. And on top of that, I bet they hardly get any visitors at this nursing home. It is so far out in the middle of nowhere, probably no one comes to visit these poor folks. So I started having compassion, and then I started praying. And I prayed, God, please, Lord, send them some visitors to this nursing home. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was like, oh, snap. Okay. But I didn't stop. I just kept going. I went to that little town. I went in and got some supplies, got my hamburger and french fries, and joined myself, turn around, start to come back to the camp. Knew I was going to pass by that nursing home again, but I was prepared with excuses. And as I'm heading that way, I'm like, man, I got to get back to camp. I've dilly-dallied around too much. Those kids need me. I'm the pastor. I'm important. I'm here for the youngsters, not for the old people. You know, I got to get back to camp. I'm making all kinds of excuses, and I just blew right past that nursing home. Drove 20 minutes back to the camp, pulled in the front gate, drove back to the little cabin where I was staying, put the van in park, turned off the key, and sat there. And God was wrestling with me. And I lost. How many of you know it's a good thing when you're wrestling with God that you lose? You lose. I lost, man. I lost, and so I just leaned down. I said, okay, Lord. I turned the key back on. Put it in reverse, drove 20 minutes back to the nursing home, pulled in, parked the van, went inside the front door, and there was a lady sitting at the table inside the door there in the reception area, and I just say, hey, listen, I was just passing by three times, and I was just wondering if you all had anybody that didn't get a lot of visitors. I thought I would visit with them for a few minutes. I got a few minutes to spare here, and she said, oh, yeah. So she wrote down a lady's name on a post-it note and a room number and gave it to me, and I walked down the hall and went into this lady's room, and I just said, hey, I'm a pastor. I just happened to be at the camp down the road and thought I'd come and visit you. She had her Bible sitting on her nightstand. She pulled it off. We started sharing stories and talking about the Lord. It was a great, great, wonderful visit. And I was feeling pretty good about myself then. And I walked out of her door after encouraging her and praying with her, walked out of her door, and I started to turn left, but to my right, I noticed two guys at the end of the hallway, right by the window at the end of the hallway. They're both in wheelchairs, and one of the wheelchairs has a balloon tied to it, like a happy birthday balloon made out of foil. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And those things can stay up in the air for a long time, and it looked like it had been a long time. And I say that because it looked like it's about half empty, but it was still hanging on his chair. And I deduced from that that it wasn't the first birthday that that balloon had been used for at the nursing home. And so I thought, well, I need to go wish him happy birthday. So I walked down the hallway to this older gentleman, and I said, so it's your birthday, huh? He goes, yes. And we talked and asked him how many birthdays and all that good stuff. And then I kind of made this mistake. I just said, hey, listen, I'm sure they sang you happy birthday this morning, didn't they? He goes, no. I was like, oh. Because I don't sing, man. I do not sing. My wife's a singer. I don't sing. So I said, well, you know, your family's probably going to be here tonight, and they're going to sing you happy birthday, and it'll be awesome. He goes, no, family's not coming. And I don't know if it's the Lord or not, but I just heard this, sing. And so as best I could, I sang him happy birthday, inserted his name in the right spot with vibrato in my voice. I don't even know what that means. And just gave it as I did as good of a job as I could, and I held out the last note and tried to make it good, and I got done singing, and both of them clapped their arthritic hands without making a sound, you know, and I encouraged them a little bit more and gave them a little side hug, and as I walked out of that nursing home that day, I asked God to forgive me for the times in my life where I have passed up the opportunities that he has given me to see, to pray, and then to love people with the love that he has loved me with. I don't know how many times I've been like the... I probably can't even count the number of times I've been like the priest in the story, the Good Samaritan story that Jesus told. Remember, the guy gets beat up, he's in the ditch, and he gets passed by until the Good Samaritan comes and helps him. But I don't know how many times I've been like the priest that actually passed by on the other side of the road because I'm too important. I'm doing things for God. I've got too much going on. I've got a schedule I've got to keep when, in fact, God has put people in my path on purpose. I'm going to admit, I don't get this right on a regular basis. And sometimes I even hear the excuse in the back of my mind, you can't do it for everyone. You can't do it for everyone. You know what? That's 100% true. You can't do it for everyone. But we should not let the fact that we can't do it for everyone keep us from doing it for someone. I say that, and I can guarantee you in your life right now, God has put a someone. He put a someone in your life right now. And he wants to open your eyes, and he wants you to pray for them. And then he wants you to be ready, possibly, to be used to love them with the love that he has shown to you. Let me give you one more word today. Third word is bring, bring. To love people like Jesus loves people, you gotta bring them to Jesus. You gotta bring them to him. In that verse that we just read, Jesus said, pray that God sends workers out into the harvest field. And most of us aren't farmers, but we can understand this. Harvesters don't just go out into the harvest field and stand there. pray that the Lord sends harvest workers out to the field to stand there. No, that's not what he meant. What he meant was, so then go out and bring the harvest in. There's a harvest out there. He wants workers. He needs workers to go out and bring in the harvest. And it makes perfect sense for us who have experienced the overwhelming, all-consuming, reckless love of God in our lives. Once we've experienced that, we want other people to experience it as well. If you love someone, and I mean really love someone, if God lets compassion for people well up in your heart, you're going to want them to have what you have. Now, my wife is a foodie. Do we have any foodies in the house? Any foodies in the house? And by foodie, I mean you care about what you eat. Okay. I am not a foodie at all. I eat to survive. I can't smell things either, so I think that affects my sense of my taste. And so I just don't care about food. I literally don't care about food. And I can prove that because when I'm working on this sermon right here that I'm preaching to you, when I was working on it, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and it was about lunchtime, and she says to me, there's some cottage cheese in the refrigerator that's gonna go bad. You better eat it if you want it. I said, just throw it down to me. So she gave it to me, opened up the lid, and we got this spot in our refrigerator that if something's sitting there, it freezes solid. And apparently, the cottage cheese had been right at that spot, and it was frozen solid. So I just took a spoon, I started carving the cottage cheese. It was like eating a cottage cheese snow cone. Have I made my point? I don't care about food, okay? It was actually a good lunch, and that's my relationship with food. I'm hungry, I put food in my mouth, I'm not hungry anymore, end of subject, okay? She actually likes for her food to taste good. She wants to taste, and she wants to experience. We go someplace, and she wants to experience what it is that they like in that part of the world and what they're eating and so forth. I could care less, and it's hilarious because we've been married for over 30 years now. And she will still to this day, yeah, good for her. Good for me, that's what I meant. But for over 30 years, and she still does this, it'll be time to go out, and we'll be going out to eat, and she'll say, this time you choose where we're gonna eat. And I always say something like this, Taco Bell. And she says, okay, I'll choose. So she immediately wants to be the person who picks a restaurant then. But every time we go out to eat, she does the exact same thing. Except for last night, you didn't do it. I think it's because you heard me talking about it. But every time we go out to eat, she does the exact same thing. She gets her food, I get my food, and then she tastes some of her food, and she talks about how good it is and the seasoning or whatever, and then she puts some on her fork and she puts it across the table. She wants me to take a bite. How many of you foodies do that to your mate or to your, there you go. So she does that as well. And for years, I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure it out because I don't care about food. And I'm thinking to myself, every time the fork's coming across the table, I'm thinking, I ordered this because I wanted this, and you ordered that because you wanted that. So you eat your food, I'll eat my food, we'll pay the bill, and we'll leave together. That's cool with me. So for years, I was dumbfounded until, and some of you are like, you're such an idiot. Okay, I'm not a very smart man. But it finally hit me. She loves me, and when she experiences something good, she wants me to experience it as well. Even though she never wants to go to Taco Bell. And I may not know you personally, but I know this about you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the absolute best thing that has ever happened to you, hands down, is that you found the love and the grace and the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And because we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good, we should want to share that with other people in our lives as well. There's a great story in It's a bringing story, which goes to this point quite well. It's a great bringing story in Luke about four friends. It's out of Luke chapter 5. I'm just pretty much going to read right through it here. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. So you see the setting. You got some friends who have a friend who is paralyzed. They know that the absolute best thing that could ever happen to their friend is that they get their friend in front of Jesus. So they want to get their friend to Jesus, but they incur a problem here. Verse 19, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, so the house is so full they can't get in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, boom, right in front of Jesus. These guys are good. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. So they get their friend to the house, but then they couldn't get their friend in the house because there's so many people there, so the mission could not be completed as planned. And at that point, they could have just said, oh man, we tried. We tried to get our buddy in front of Jesus, but it's not gonna work out today. Maybe another day. They didn't just walk away. They made the decision to try again, to try something else. It was like, man, hey, we're gonna do this today. We're not leaving here today until we get our friend in front of Jesus. So plan B, I don't know which one of the guys came up with it. Let's go up on top of the roof and tear a hole in the roof. This people, this person's house, we don't even know. Let's go for it, why not? They high five and up on the roof they go and let their friend right down in front of Jesus. Listen to me now. Wouldn't it be great to have people in your life like that? Wouldn't it be great to have people in your life who just didn't care about themselves or care about what you could do for them, but people in your life who would tear a hole in the roof, who would do whatever it would take to get you where you needed to be? Wouldn't it be great to have friends like that in your life? Let me tell you something better than that. Being a friend like that to somebody else. Being a friend like that to somebody else. And that's what happens, and that's what Jesus is asking when he says, love others as I have loved you. And I got news for you today. This is God's house. Right now you're in God's house. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, I'm there. I'm there. When we're gathered in his name, he's right in the middle of us. Guess what? Jesus is in the house right now. He's in the house right now. And with everything we got, we should want to get other people here in the God's house so that they can experience Jesus, so they can experience the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, the new life, the new hope that we have found in him. Verse 21, the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this guy? Who is this guy who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking. I always tell my people back home, be careful what you think around Jesus because he knows what you're thinking, right? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. And it all happened because some friends said, let's get our friend to Jesus. Let's go, man, let's just do this. Let's make this happen today. Let's get our friend to Jesus. Imagine if these four friends would have shown up at church that day without their friend. Like, let's go hear Jesus. Let's go hear his teaching. And they go, and the house is full, so they stand outside of a window, and they listen to Jesus teach, and then after the service, they're like, man, I thought that was very good today. Yes, it was very good. I didn't think it was going to be that good. Jesus is very, very good. He's a very good teacher. Yes, where do you want to go eat? Taco Bell? Yeah, that'd be good. Taco Bell. I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't have brought their friend along, but I do know there wouldn't have been a conclusion of the story like this, like verse 26, everyone was amazed, gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we've seen remarkable things today. That verse wouldn't be in the text. That wouldn't be there. This is the happy ending when someone sees and they pray and they bring. And I'm just telling you something today, church. If you really, really want to praise God with all you got, if you If you want to come to church and have one of those, like, you know, like that little emoji with his mind blown, and afterwards you send that to your friends. How was church today? Boom, 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 mind blown today. If you want to have that kind of a day at church, invite someone who doesn't know Jesus to come with you. I'm going to tell you something. The day you see your friend walk through the doors of this building, your heart is going to feel like it's about to burst out of your chest with joy and with praise to God. And here's something that can even top that. The day you see your friend make a decision for Jesus Christ, not only will they never ever be the same, but you will never be the same. It can happen in 2020. It can happen in 2020 to every single person listening to me right now. Your life can change. The way you think about life, the way you think about other people can change in 2020. This could be your year of greatest influence yet for the kingdom of God. I pray it happens. But it won't happen if we don't see. Lord, help us to see. Open our eyes, God. It won't happen if we don't pray. Lord, teach us to pray and help us to attach compassion to those prayers. And it won't happen if we don't take the bold step of inviting and bringing someone who needs to see Jesus with us to church. I want you to stand with me, please. All right, so here we are at the end of the year, end of the decade. I would love to pray for you before we go into the invitation time today. If you just bow your heads, close your eyes. In fact, let me just talk to you for a second with your heads bowed, eyes closed, and then I'll pray for you, okay? So here's what I know. Just by law of averages, I know that there's somebody with us right now who needs to make a decision for Jesus today. I know there's somebody here. And if that's you, you know it's you. And I just want you to take that bold step today. And if you do, I'm just telling you, man, there's going to be a party in heaven today. And there's not a better way to end the decade. There's not a better way to start this next decade than to get things right with God, to be in good standing with the Lord because you've had your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you need to make a decision, now is your moment of opportunity. Heavenly Father, make 2020 the best yet. Lord, I know, just because I know things, that there's been some folks that are with us right now who have had very difficult battles over the past year. I'm praying, God, that you take them to a better place this year. That, Lord, as I always tell my own church family, if it's not good, God's not done. Help us just to keep on putting one foot in front of the other, all for your kingdom good, for your glory. And Lord, help us each one to begin to open our eyes to see, to open our hearts and pray, but also, Lord, to bring. And God, for that person who's here today, who someone has invited, or maybe they just kind of came on their own today, but they know, because the Holy Spirit's been pushing on them throughout this service, they know that they need to make a decision today. I pray that now, that today is the day of salvation for them. And I pray this all in your son's name. And all the people said, God bless. Thank you for having me, Shepherd.